We're going to head out to Streeter, North Dakota, where the Central Plains or Central Grasslands Research Center is located, and visit with the director there, Kevin Sedovic. Hello, Kevin.
Hello, good afternoon.
A lovely day. We've got a fabulous crop, and we've got a fabulous crop of grass growing out there. How are you doing there south of Streeter?
You know, it's amazing how different it is this year from last year. We've been very fortunate to get almost 9 inches of rain since May 1, and we have grass up to past the bellies of the cows.
Wonderful. What's the saying for corn? Knee high by the fourth, belly high on the cows by the fourth. That's,
you bet.
They can't eat it fast enough. Huh? So,
they can't.
Yeah. Hey, that's good because you deserve this one after what you went through last year.
You bet. Yeah, it's been nice to get some moisture, and all the pastures look great. I've been traveling basically much of the state, and much of the state looks much better than last year with good rainfall, even in the western part of the state. So it's been quite a different, and most of our producers needed it for not only grass production, but also hay production.
Right on. All right, hey, before we get into what you're researching out there and what you're going to be showing to everybody in a couple of weeks on the 9th of July, your field day, I got to ask you, down in South Dakota, Bonhomie County, they've got a couple of cases now of anthrax in South Dakota. Your cattle herd, do you vaccinate for anthrax on a regular basis?
You know, we do not, only because we know that the grassland station does not have a history of anthrax toxicity. And so what we typically recommend at NDSU is if those areas that we know are hot spots that have potential for anthrax, those producers should vaccinate. We have never had that issue, so we do not actually vaccinate at the grassland station.
Okay, all right. Well, it's pretty cheap for everybody. And again, that's a good recommendation. If it's been there, then do something about it. And if not, well, then I guess $4 or $5 a head adds up over a couple hundred heads. So,
right.
Yeah. All righty. Okay. You have some grazing and forage studies, some of which are brand new, but I guess a lot of them you've been doing for years.
Yeah, we once took over the grassland station. I kind of went crazy. We started some new experimental trials to look at issues in terms of livestock production and really different ecosystem services that relate to rangeland and rangeland production. And so what we did is last year we started a new what we call a patch burn graze treatment to look at not only livestock performance but also soil health, vegetative community production. We're looking at pollinators and birds for those ecosystem services. And this year we started a new trial. It's a grazing system that's really a modified twice-over rotation, rest rotation, that kind of creates the same concept of a burn. If you graze one pasture hard, one moderate, and one light, and get this patch effect. And we're trying to look at the same questions, livestock performance, soil health, pollinators, birds, and mammals, to see how we respond to those. And with the big buzz on pollinators, we think we can improve the pollinator community that will enhance our pollinators that not only use our native plants but also the ones that pollinate our crops that are associated close by.
Patch burn. This is kind of a new term. Is it a new concept?
You know, it's not a new concept. It was actually developed in the southern part of the United States in Oklahoma. And they've been doing it for about 15 years. But the Northern Plains, most of our ranchers are not really pro-fire. We look at more of it as a risk factor, and we don't see a lot of fire up north. So we brought that concept up here to try the same kind of techniques on our Northern Plains, which are cool season dominant grasses, versus the Southern Plains with a warm season, and see how they respond. One thing it looks like we're doing is we're seeing a really nice flush of native forbs, which increases the diversity, which is why it enhances the pollinator use and the bird use.
Interesting. Now, the rest rotation and the twice-over rotation grazing that you're doing there, I know you're going to be presenting the results of that study, so I don't want to give away any secrets or anything, but what are you seeing so far? What do you think?
Well, the rotation one is brand new. We literally just started it 4 weeks ago, or about 5 weeks ago now. So we'll basically follow that for the next 4 years. But the hypothesis that we would go on is I think the rotation, especially if we rotate the heavy use and moderate use, we're trying to impact the Kentucky bluegrass and that thatch layer that's causing this effect that natives don't do well in. So we're thinking if we can get a great enough impact, we can reduce the bluegrass invasion and increase the native plant community, which we need to get a more sustainable forage base throughout the grazing season.
Which is what is accomplished when you know, a little fire runs through there.
Absolutely. Yeah. Fire is the same concept. You get this heavy use by fire, creates this disturbance, and you get a flush growth. What was interesting last year on the burns is our burn trial actually enhanced cattle performance by over 50% and enhanced calf performance by over 10%.
What does a burn, though, do to soil health?
Well, that's a great question, because when you burn, you reduce the carbons that go into the air, but it also breaks down the carbons, and you actually get a release of fertility that the microbial population uses. And when we talk about soil health, we're trying to enhance the microbial population, and we think the fire will do that by breaking down that carbon, creates a release of nitrogen, and we get more microbial activity, which enhances root growth in our perennial plants.
Okay, all right. Well, again,
how's that for a big term?
You filled up my brain, and I know you're going to do the same for everybody out there. July 9th at the Central Grasslands Research Center, a fabulous facility that, I'm sorry, it kind of flies under the radar a lot, Kevin.
It does, and my goal is to make it so it doesn't fly under the radar. And for those ranchers in the local area, we'd love to see you come out and see what we're doing. It's a great opportunity for the station to show and tell what our producers really would like to see done.
Indeed. Now, so cows love grass and forages of all kinds, but they drool over alfalfa. So what do you do? Kind of alfalfa studies you got going there?
So we have a couple alfalfa trials. One is looking at different varieties of alfalfa, including Roundup Ready, the saline varieties, and the traditional cultivars that are out there. We're on our fourth year of that trial. We also put in an alfalfa trial looking at a relay kind of trial where most ranchers want a grass alfalfa mix. And so we're trying to look at a way to make sure that grass alfalfa occurs in the first cutting and the second cutting, and sometimes even the third cutting, where normally it's almost always alfalfa in the second and third cutting. So we're looking at what I call a relay study to kind of keep the grass in the alfalfa mix, which makes a more balanced diet for our cattle producers.
Pretty cool.
I'm sorry, for the cattle.
Right. Hey, well, and that should make the producers happier.
Correct.
Yeah. And are you doing anything on manure and its value?
You know, we're not doing any manure this year, but one thing we are doing different is we're actually looking at ways to track where our cattle are actually grazing. So we did some GPS collars on the cattle to look at, are they grazing in the burns, not burns? Are they grazing here and there? And what's a cool trial we're doing is we actually put radio collars on bumblebees. And we're going to track the bumblebee movements among our treatments to see where they're going and where they're attracting. So we actually have 30 bees that will have a little radio telemetry on their back that we're going to try and show that during the field day.
I would assume you had the graduate students attach these, because I bet the bees were not real cooperative.
You are correct. The grad student, one of them even said he got stung a few times, but once they figured out, it went pretty good.
All right. Well, that's why you have grad students do that kind of work, the stuff that nobody else wants to do, because it's a great learning experience. So.
Absolutely.
Yes. All right.
It is.
Hey, do you want people to pre-register or just show up on the 9th?
You know, they can just show up on the 9th. It starts at 4, but I'm going to do something unique if I have time. We're going to do a German fry sausage tasting contest. And so we're going to have a different local fry sausages from the area that people can rank and tell me which one is their favorite flavor for those local communities around the Napoleon and Linton and Wishick and Ashley and Zeeland area.
Sausage in that neighborhood? Well, and it's probably some of the world's best, too. So
it is.
That's great. A sausage tasting.
So come a little early and try some sausage.
Awesome. All right. Just take the street or exit on I-90 and head southways. And then I assume you'll have signs up.
Yep, we'll have signs. It's 11 miles south of the street or exit and 5 miles west, and just follow the signs.
All righty. Super. Kevin Sedevec, director of the Central Grasslands Research Center. Thank you much, Kevin.
Thank you very much, Mick.
You're welcome. Have a great 4th of July. Appreciate it.
You too.
Yep. Bye now.